In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the biggest week of all time, Episcopal Kincaid, Holy Cross First Baptist, Liberty Parish. We have never seen this level of competition before in Texas private school. Stick around for the analysis. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am one-fourth of your host and crew today. Joining you from the heart of Dallas, Texas, I am Wes Tollison. Walker Lott joins me from College Station. Ryan Schroeder joins us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we have a special guest, a face you should be familiar with, although the first time on camera, lead student analyst, TAPS Division IV correspondent, the first lady of Brazos Christian School, Waverly West. Waverly, thank you for coming on. You have done invaluable work for us, whether that be the website or helping lead our student interns. Number one, thank you for coming on. Number two, what are you thinking about this week of private school ball?
Man, this is going to be such a good week. This has been circled on the calendar for so many reasons from every division, Division I to Division IV. So I'm so excited to get into it.
Absolutely. It's going to be a very, very fun time. Walker Lott, I'll start with you first. Brief comments because we got a lot to get through today. Thoughts on the slate?
Dude, like she said, we circled this one for weeks now, and this is a lot of implications for tops of districts, championship game implications, and just bragging rights. So this is a fun, fun week.
Absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, I appreciate you repping my my birthplace of Durham, North Carolina on your head. How are you doing this fine Wednesday evening?
I'm ready to get back in a car and drive back down to Dallas this weekend. I think it's kind of going here and there. I really was just trying to figure things out, but last week's game with Wes was just like, you know, it was one of those games that couldn't miss last week. And if last week was a couldn't miss, this week's an even more can't miss. So, I'm going to have to figure out a way to not kill my car over, but, my car, that 35 drive, we'll be doing a lot, in this short time span.
I wasn't even 100% that you were coming down for the game. So that makes me incredibly excited that I will see you. Hopefully some fantastic clips will come out of that. So, as mentioned, we have an insane slate to get through. Six games for the first time in a long time. But first, Walker Lott, we're bringing the Mount Rushmore segment back. Might as well with a special guest on. How about you introduce the Mount Rushmore, and then we'll get into the snake draft and how that is going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were trying to figure out a good one when Waverly was on, and trying to figure out one that we can all do, right? And one of the ones we did, because all of us have been to a lot of sports games over the years, is like the best play or game by an individual like you've ever seen. Like top sports moments, like plays, games that you've been to live. Not just watched on TV, but actually live. Because the top four would all be those Ranger home runs by Adolis Garcia, basically, if it was for me. But that's it. We're going to snake draft. Wes, do you want to start? Do you want to finish? How do you want to do this?
I will start because I think I have the best one out of anyone on here, potentially. I think I've got two that are the best, and I'll go with the first one. It is the Zion Williamson 360 dunk against Clemson in Cameron Indoor Stadium in, I think this was December of 2018. I got to go watch a game in Cameron whenever Zion was there. And everyone knew a crazy dunk like that was going to happen at some point in the season just because of Zion's mixtape. And I got to see it live. And I think what was his first ACC game? Electric. And, you know, somehow I still don't think maybe not the best play, but not even the best moment that I have in the bank. We will see that when I come back around.
All right. Who do you want to Let's go. You want Waverly to go next, or Ryan, do you want to?
I can go. I'll go. Yeah. I feel like I the funny thing is I just really don't know where to go with this. So if you're going to go that, I'll probably go. So obviously Rangers won the World Series last year, got to start my job with the MLB, working the first opening day, came down from, I like skipped class to make sure that I was covering the game for opening day on March 28th or whatever it was. And the Rangers, after winning the World Series, come out in their first home game of the year, and they hit a walk-off to win it, first game of the year. My clip made MLB that night. It was my first ever time of like shooting for MLB. It was literally one of the craziest experiences, and it was like the momentum was building to do it again. And we're now in October, and the Rangers aren't there anymore, but the idea was there in the moment. It was awesome. It was one of the coolest experiences I probably ever had.
Oh, shout out
There you
Jonah
go.
Heim, I believe was the game winner. I believe it was Jonah Heim. Anyways, Waverly, going to you. What is your pick for number one?
Okay, so just background, growing up in College Station, my parents are big A&M sports fans for all the sports. So mine are all Aggie football, basketball, or baseball. My number one, it's kind of like a random one. If you know, you know. But in with Billy Kennedy, the A&M basketball team was playing Northern Iowa in their regional. In Oklahoma City, my family was there. We were down 12 points with 56 seconds left. Watch us come all the way back to tie it and win in double overtime. I was pretty young, but can still vividly remember when we won. One of the coolest experiences ever.
That is a core memory. I cannot believe you
Yeah.
were there. That's a core sports memory, not just A&M. They show that every year in March on the highlight reel. That's not bad.
Dude, that's a great first pick.
Thank you.
So growing up, besides A&M games, I didn't really go to many sports events, which is crazy. So a lot of these are from college days. And the first one was actually the first season I ever covered Texas high school football. And it I'm gonna say basically the season for this guy, because you can't not say it. It's Devon Achane's senior year at Fort Ben Marshall. One of the most electrifying players I've ever seen live, maybe the most electrifying. Had the chance to make his senior highlight tape. That was one of the first things I did to go viral, like on social media, which was really cool. But there was not a guy that you knew when he touched the ball, he was gonna go to the yard. Like, it was just unbelievable. So, if I had to pick one, I think him versus A&M Consolidated in like the semifinals was a really good game, if I remember correctly, or the state game. But his senior year was just unbelievable. So that's my number one pick. And since we are snaking, I'll go around, and I'll leave the TXPS guys for later. So I'll do my second pick is Jalen Brunson versus the Jazz, round one. And 22, where he dropped 40 on the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell. That was the game where Luka was out with injury, and everyone thought we were about to go down 0-2 in that series. And Jalen Brunson got himself paid by the Knicks for that game alone and the rest of that series. So, core memory. I was literally, I think, the second or first, like, highest, like, row in American Airlines watching that game. I was in the nosebleeds, but I saw Jalen Brunson with his green sneakers and just ball that game. So that's my pick. But Waverly, over to you. What's your number two?
Okay, Aggie football, more, I don't know, just one of the coolest like environments ever was when we beat Bama. Aggie football did in 2021. Once again, Achane, you were talking about him in high school, that kick return after
Oh, yeah.
Alabama had just went down and scored. I have never seen the roof blow off of Kyle Field like it did during that kick return. That sequence was one of the most fun. Me and my sister were jumping up and down. We're in a section full of old people. We're just jumping up and down, going absolutely insane. It was so fun.
That's a ball knower pick. That's an elite play from that game.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
turned the tide of that one too. Ryan.
Yeah, I think I this so another one, more baseball, because apparently I love baseball. I did not realize that as much as I'm gonna have all these on here. Last summer I interned at USA Baseball. We covered a lot of like youth events and stuff, like a lot of youth events, a lot of youth games and stuff. But then the college national team came to town, and the college national team played kind of a regional schedule inside of the state of North Carolina. And so one of the games we played in the hometown of J. Cole is it Fayetteville? Is that what it is? I just knew that instead of where the actual town was, but Fayetteville. There's a minor league ballpark there, and it was the 4th of July, and basically our boss sent all of us out there to go out and cover the game. And so instead of maybe a mo maybe not a moment, it is a moment, but oh, I actually know who hit it too. Who's the Georgia Charlie Condon? Charlie Condon, base
Oh.
he's the one that was on the team, USA Baseball. This is before his big year this year. On the 4th of July, with the fireworks going off in the background because people in the area had already been doing the fireworks, He hits a walk-off against Chinese Taipei. As we're wearing the USA baseball jerseys, all that kind of stuff, we run out there, get the walk-off hit. Charlie Condit, the whole team, Jack Caglione, all those guys. It was a crazy memory, and just see all the shots we got with the fireworks in the background with the guys like on up to plate. It was really cool.
That's
That's
elite. I mean, that's nothing short of elite. Does that go back to me now?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so mine is going to be from 2010. I was 9 years old, and for context here, my first love was the Texas Rangers. I was a Texas Rangers fan before I was an A&M fan, before I was a Duke fan. I grew up in love with baseball and suffered through a lot of terrible Texas Rangers seasons leading up to that, and maybe more in the future, but that's beside the point. I was 9 years old. It was the American League Championship Series. Neftali Feliz was pitching against Alex Rodriguez, and Neftali Feliz strikes out Alex Rodriguez to take the Rangers to their first ever World Series. I've been, again, I'm an A&M fan. I've been in a lot of incredibly raucous, loud environments. I have never heard a sports stadium as loud as the Rangers ballpark in Arlington when Neftali Feliz struck out Alex Rodriguez. Partially was because everyone and their mother hated Alex Rodriguez because of the steroid allegations, but also it's just the catharsis of the Rangers finally breaking through. I get chills thinking about it. That probably is my favorite moment. It would have been number one if it wasn't for a man named Zion Williamson, but that is probably, maybe outside of the Rangers winning the World Series, my favorite sporting moment of all time.
Dude, that was, those were good days. I probably watched it at a Buffalo Wild Wings with friends. Like those were good days.
They were. I forgot.
I know, I was gonna say, I watched a 2 hour long documentary about the Rangers on YouTube the other day. I'll have to send it to you, and it talks about it the whole time. It's very good.
Please do. I will love to suffer through that. Moving on. This is my third pick, brings the first private school pick back into the ranks, and it's from somebody who is probably my favorite athlete I've ever covered in private school, Brady Dever. 2022 November, the semifinal game against Austin Regents. Fort Bend is down by four, I think, against Austin Regents. It's fourth down. There's 47 seconds left. Dever takes the snap, can't find anyone, almost gets sacked, rolls out of it, rolls left. Tyler Curry's button, he's wide open in the end zone, finds him, touchdown. Fort Bend wins. And just the season of destiny continues for Fort Bend, and they get the state championship. That again, that's also a chills type moment. That's just Brady Dever doing what Brady Dever did. Just an all-time, probably my favorite moment I've covered in Texas private school football.
Dude, yeah, that I remember you tweeting that out, and it was just crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Ryan, I think it's you.
Yeah, I think it's my next one. I actually totally forgot about this one until this exact moment. So I used to cover a lot of high school basketball. That's how I got into covering even this and stuff in the future. But when I think this is my first one of my first summers coming out of high school, I was going to AAU tournaments all the time, and one of the AAU tournaments had Hansel Emmanuel, who's the, if y'all don't know, is the one-handed guy who was playing basketball and stuff. Basically, Hansel had all this hype and stuff about being really good, and I was low-key a doubter a little bit because I just didn't know what all you could do, right? I'd seen the clips online. Well, in a packed-out gym, Hansel Emmanuel, there's a clip online. He goes up, cradles it like this with his one hand against his body, and dunks it on someone, then points and laughs at the guy with his hand, and like basically does that. The clip went super viral. But yeah, one-handed Hansel Emmanuel. I don't know where he's at now, but that was a crazy moment. And then tying that in, the summer before that, I actually got to see Terrence Clark play before he passed on that Boston team that he played for, the AAU team. I think those two together at Drive Nation, both at Drive Nation, two of like the core memories of high school basketball recruiting I was doing.
Nice.
But I think it's Waverly.
Okay, once again, back to Aggie sports because I have no real experiences other than that. But so Aggie baseball, this past year to go to Omaha, Caden Kent completes the comeback versus Oregon, the Grand Slam. Once again, roof flows off of Olsen. I'm with my sister again. We're screaming, "We're going to Omaha! We're going to Omaha!" So much fun. That team was, we actually ended up going and taking a trip to Omaha to watch them play in the championship series, which Unfortunately, we came up short, but such a fun team to watch. Hopefully, we can run it back again this year, but that moment will forever be ingrained into my brain.
Well, we would have won if we didn't have a coach that was feeding information to the opposite team, but I don't, I'm a sloss hater. Don't care.
I am too. No, I remember it was the thing. I think we were doing something for the company, and I was texting Waverly. I was like, "Hey, we're doing this event. Would you want to come?" And she was like, "Yeah, we're on our way to Omaha." And I went, "Yeah, I would be too. Oh, no, no shame there."
Yes, because I
So,
told y'all I was coming to 7-on-7, and then I was like,
yes.
oh, so sorry. I.
To which we were like, we would all do the exact same
Oh,
thing. You're
yeah,
more than fine.
absolutely. I think I texted Wes. I
Yeah,
was like, dude,
100%.
I wish I was doing the same thing. But, okay. You know what? I'll save some of these for honorable mentions. But you know what? I'll end on some two TXPS games from a couple memories. How's that? The first one I will do is Carson Gordon's 75-yard house call last year and the first play of the game versus Kincaid in the state title game at Houston Stadium. Carson Gordon went off that game. He was basically unstoppable, but it started from literally the first play. It was a QB keeper 75 yards out on the sideline. It was just unbelievable. And that was when he was still in UNLV commit. And, you know, it was under wraps that he was a UCLA commit. And it was kind of the thing where, like, if you watched him in games like that, you knew how special he was. And all-time player, all-time human being. What a player in that one. So that whole game with him and Brandon Thomas was unbelievable. And also, that was my first time in Houston's TDECU Stadium. I believe that's what it's called. But I think it's an oil company. I don't know. Or electric company. No idea. Anyways,
Yep.
the last game, you know what? I'll do that. Is Luke Edgecombe's 103-yard pick six against Prestonwood last year. And that was kind of the nail, not the nail in the coffin, because they didn't, both teams didn't stop scoring until 30 seconds left in that game. I think it was almost like 120 points combined, something like that, and like 140. It was an unbelievable game. But Luke Edgecombe, I think Kellen Tasley rolls out. He picks it off and runs it back 103 yards from the back of the end zone. All-time player in that game. That was his second pick, couple touchdowns as well. He was unbelievable in that one to send St. Thomas to their first ever state championship since, I want to say, 01, if I remember correctly. So all-time performance by those guys. But that is my fourth and final pick.
Ryan Schroeder.
I think it's Waverly. Waverly?
Yes.
Waverly. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to skip
Oh, you're
Waverly.
fine. Last one, going back to Aggie football. Obviously an amazing game, but a play in the game. The A&M LSU 7 overtime game in 2018. Such just an overall good game, but I believe it was the third overtime. Kendrick Rogers, his one-handed grab somehow pulls it in for a touchdown. And I once again think it was the third overtime. It all kind of ran together. We were all delirious. Incredible play. And once again, the best win. Still mad, even though I was like 12 years old, I didn't rush the field, but you know.
So some would say that's like an Enzo catch, is what people say. That's what they're calling it now.
It's not an OBJ anymore, it's an Enzo.
It's an Enzo.
Enzo kind of that goes hard. Dude, you were 12 years old for that. I was a what was that? I
Oh
was
no, I
we
was
were
older.
fresh, we
Wait,
were
I was
seniors
born
in
in
high school. Yeah.
06, and that was 2018. So yeah, I was 12.
Cool. Cool,
Gosh.
awesome. Feeling older every day.
Real.
All right.
Yeah, Ryan.
I have to include this one. Man, I know I have some TXPS. My TXPS honorable mention literally just be Enzo's clip. I think that's gonna be my honorable mention, but I have to mention this one. I actually forgot about it. I think it was like the Waterburger tournament, one of their Christmas tournaments and stuff. They had Richardson versus Duncanville. Basically, it was Kasem Wallace and all those guys against Ron Holland and company at Duncanville. And Anthony Black was supposed to be playing, but was suspended basically off and on.
Was that you were at that game?
So basically, if you all know the story. He's sitting courtside wearing, you know, off-white Jordan 5s, not ready to play this whole thing. He doesn't think he's going to play. In the middle of the third quarter, you see him go to the locker room. By the way, at this point, Richardson Dunkerville, Richardson's kind of had the upper hand, but it's going back and forth. Richardson's definitely feeling like they're in the lead. Anthony Black rushes to the locker room. Everyone's like, is he going to go change? Is he about to enter the game? Keep in mind, he's been suspended for months. He comes back out in his jersey, going to play with basically a $1,000 pair of shoes, because he didn't have any hooping shoes on. He just has Jordan 5 Off-Whites. Enters the game. The entire place felt like a movie. The place erupts because he enters the game. Keep in mind, no one really knew whether he was unsuspended or suspended or whether they just played him. People are saying he got cleared. No one really knows. Comes in the game, goes down to the wire. I'm pretty sure Kaysen Wallace or somebody, by the way, Kaysen Wallace, one of my new coworkers, basically, comes down. They end up winning. Richardson upsets Duncanville, and then Duncanville comes back and wins state that year instead. Just kind of one of those crazy stories, one of those movie type stories where Anthony Black comes into the game after being quote unquote suspended for transfer rules and all that kind of stuff. It was insane.
Dude, I remember Twitter going ballistic when that happened, because everyone was like, "What in the world
It was
happened? That
nuts.
was nuts." All right,
Yeah,
that is
no one
nice.
really, no one
So
knew.
mine, you can go back and look at my very like vivid reaction when Waverly said, the Texas A&M LSU game, because that was also my pick, and my pick also is Kendrick Rogers. However, it's a different play. Waverly, for $5, can you tell me where Kendrick Rogers is from? Frankston, Texas, just the pride of East Texas. I ran in a track meet against him once. Thankfully, not the same race, because that would have ended poorly. But yeah, Kendrick Rogers, the pride of Frankston, Texas, in the seventh overtime catches the 2-point conversion from Kellen Mond to win the game. It's funny because I have a video of that on my phone, and it's funny because I'm videoing and I'm just holding my phone on the Snapchat record button, and like you see him catch it, and everyone goes. And the video cuts off, so I took my finger off my thumb off of the
That's
button.
good.
So you see him catch it, and then like you hear like the beginning of a crowd eruption, and then just go silent, and the video ends. But yeah,
Dude.
that just because during that game, everyone thought Mona threw the pick, and like myself and the group I was with, like had like 1 foot out of the stadium. And then we turn around and they're reviewing it, and we're like, we just kind of stand there until they finish, and then they're like. Okay, his knee was down. We all just run back to the student section. It was a fun time. But yeah, no, that will conclude our Mount Rushmore. Walker, I don't think we have time for honorable mentions. We have a lot to get through. I do have honorable mentions. I don't care. Anyways, I'm the one
Quickly.
editing this. Anyways,
Quickly.
Kyle Glamorgan's hurdle versus Fort Bend that made it on the max preps. Somehow that was awesome. Moose Muhammad's one-handed catch versus LSU 2 years ago. That was good. Dante Exum buzzer beater versus the Rockets last offseason. That was epic. I want a parlay for that. That's don't gamble, kids. And Isaiah Spiller's run versus Florida in 2020, part of that year. That was a really good run. Ben, those are my honorable mentions.
Though I'm glad we went through those, because those are good honorable mentions. But as fun as the Mount Rushmore was, the reason we are here today is to cover the best slate of private school football I have seen since we started covering the sport, starting with none other than Midland Christian at Fort Worth Christian, a game in which the Mustangs are a 20.5 point favorite. Midland will take the long drive east this Friday to do battle with the Eagles of Fort Worth Christian. Midland has started the season 2-4, but more importantly, 1-0 in district with a 35-8 win over SCS last week. Senior Avery Morgan heads the ship at quarterback and is an effective runner as well as a passer. However, this Mustangs team is built on the run, and senior Case Cole will get the lion's share of the carries. However, Midland Christian certainly has capable receivers as well, namely Boston Rodriguez and Jarrett Stockstill. However, the Mustangs will try and hang their hat on a stout defense. They allow less than 6 points per game in wins, and holding Fort Worth Christian under 2 scores is likely the magic number to ensure a Mustang victory. That job will fall to the likes of Isaiah Matthews and Angel Villafranco. On the flip side, Fort Worth Christian is 5-1, with their only blemish being the shellacking they took at the hands of Second Baptist. However, the quality of opponents is nothing to write home about, as their best win is probably Trinity Valley, albeit it was a 41-3 win. We know the storylines. A billion transfers in, Kropaller and Gigliotta and weapons, and Tucker Ashford is a freak of nature. This game is going to come down to that magic number 14. I really think if Fort Worth Christian can get over 2 scores in this game, they have a solid chance to improve to 2-0 in district and secure that 2 seed. That's the pick I'm going to go with. I know the spread has Midland minus 20, but as we have shown numerous times on this program, the spreads know absolutely nothing. I like Fort Worth Christian. They are probably the most wrong I've been on a pick this year in that Second Baptist pick, but we are now figuring out Second Baptist really is just that good. And that was kind of a fluky monsoon rain type game, I think. That being said, I'm going to go with Fort Worth Christian. I really do believe in this defense. I think it's close regardless, but it's going to be interesting. Walker Lot.
Dude, I'm trying to figure it out in my head while you were talking to which side I want to go on this. You know, I heard a rumor or from a source that Cade Kropholler is out with injury for the season. Do I know that for 100%? No, but I feel like my source is pretty good on that. So if you want to change your pick on that, I'll allow you to do that. But
No, I'm going to leave it.
okay. Does Bo Pearson and the and Grant Golly and that receiving core carry that weight?
I think you're asking the wrong question. I think it's you still got Tucker Ashford and the monsters on the defensive side of the ball that can limit Midland Christian scoring.
That's a good point. I'm intrigued to see Rowdy Pearson this one, the 26 offensive lineman that the guy raves about. And if he can hold Tucker Ashford, which don't think is possible, but if he can at all, I will be very impressed with him. I'll have to watch that film. For the pick, I'll go forward with Christian. I'll back you in this one. I could see the other side going the other way too. This defense is supposedly pretty good with Brady Young and the new transfer quarter who's pretty solid. Boston Rodriguez is a dude, but give me Gigliotta and the Cardinals in this one.
Ryan.
Man, the Midland win over Friendship just looks really good. I think that's the one where or they oh they lost, sorry. The like the close loss, 35-34. Like that looks
Right.
really good. Just the game against Cornerstone was good, but there's a similarity between those two games and their Bishop Lynch blowout is that they're all at home. You go to Southwest Christian, but now and for another week you have to travel to Fort Worth. They probably should have just stayed in Fort Worth. Who needs school for a week? Stay in Fort Worth. Midland drive's too long.
I mean, we got Zoom
So
for a reason.
exactly, right? You're playing right down the street in North Richland Hills when you were at Southwest Christian last week. I think another long bus drive doesn't bode in their favor, but I think there's a lot of things that definitely favor in my head against for Fort Worth Christian. I also know a lot more about that team. I think in total, it just comes down to the fact that those are four wins in a row, keeping their opponent to seven or less. I agree exactly with Wes, though. They're going to have to be the ones putting up the points. I think they still get it done. Give me fourth, Christian.
You said the magic words without saying them. Bus fatigue, it's always something that's going to factor in here. But as you said, Midland Christian is very used to it at this point. Waverly West, we've got a three-way team on Fort Worth Christian. Are you going to be the one to break that bet?
This is definitely the game that I know the least about of this week's six games, but just whenever I was kind of researching, it just seems that Fort Worth Christian, especially with what did I don't really know how to pronounce his last name, but if y'all said Kropholler,
Crop hauler.
yes, he's gonna be out. I feel like that just kind of adds to my pick that I think Midland can get it done. They're the favorites, and I don't know, let's go Midland.
Absolutely. And Waverly, if you've ever watched this program, you know how thankful I am for you taking Midland Christian, because anytime that we're all on one side of the game, it goes the way that it shouldn't go. So thank you for hopefully breaking that curse. Moving on to a Division II matchup that is just as nice, if not better. Second Baptist at the Woodlands Christian Academy, where the Eagles are a 28.5-point favorite. Friday will bring a matchup of the two best teams in Division II District 4 as Second travels to the Woodlands. Second Baptist has proven to be the representative of the Division II South. They are 5-1 on the year with wins over ESD, St. John's, Fort Worth Christian, and Lutheran South. The Eagles have powered through a challenging non-district slate. Cannon Toon is proving himself as one of the top quarterbacks in 26, garnering the nickname Houdini as he seems to escape out of any situation where he might seem pinned. Add in Bryce Butler, Langston Davis, RJ Lee, and Alan Thomas to that mix, and you have a potential state title team in Second Baptist. However, The Woodlands Christian Academy has quietly gone 5-1, and after amassing solid talent in the offseason, they look poised to cause some shakeup. 26 quarterback Santiago Fernandez is proving to be a star for the Woodlands as senior wide receiver Bo Ellis has emerged as one of the best wide receivers in Division II. That dude is a freak. And, of course, who can forget senior linebacker Grayson Boker lurking on the defensive side of the ball? I'll keep this brief. There's no way I can bet against Second Baptist in this spot. Both teams are very good, and they will be the top two in this district. I just think Second is too deep across the board to drop this here. Give me the Eagles. Give me Second Baptist. 28.5 is a big number. I'll take the Woodlands to cover that spread, but Second to win nonetheless. Walker.
Yeah, you know, TWCA was a team when and we were doing our previews I was really high on, right? And they're proving me right so far, which I love to see. They have a lot of dudes that came in, and Santiago Fernandez is a guy that we have raved about for years, and he's proven us right, Wes. So thank you to him. But I think they're a really good team. I could see them even making the second round come playoffs and beating another team down the line. This could be a semifinal team in the south part of Division Two. I absolutely believe that. But I think there's one team better than them in the south. Give me Second Baptist in this one. I just think they're a good team. And beating a team like LSA last year handedly was very impressive. You know, LSA was not a top team in there, but they were probably that third place team in that district. And being able to not really have to rely on the pass, but also really, you know, was strong in the run game as well. It shows that they can be balanced. And especially when you have, you know, Bryce Butler and the guys on they do on defense, they have a really, really good team. And I just think the Eagles get it done here.
Ryan Schroeder.
I just want to first off start saying that LSA is not better than this team. And I think that's where I was wrong off rip than Woodlands, because Woodlands is like that. Very like that. I it's funny because, you know, I'm looking at Santiago Fernandez's stats and you know, we talk about guys like Dylan Bell. I'm counting up his touchdowns. And I'm going, all right, well, five. This is against Cypress, by the way. 5 touchdowns, 309 passing yards. Okay, that's kind of insane. Oh, 92 rushing yards, another touchdown. Okay, now he's over 400 total yards and 6 touchdowns. Oh, is that his name also on the receiving? 31 receiving yards and another touchdown. 7
that's
total
probably his
touchdowns.
They're talking
exactly
about Santiago.
Right. Yeah,
yep,
you're
it's
right.
His little brother.
I can't see the S versus the J on the other side, but that's not, neither here nor there. I think 6 touchdowns, 400 yards still brings my point to the fact that Woodlands Christian and Santiago Fernandez are like that, as well as Bo Ellis on the receiving core there. I think this is all just going to come back to me saying, if there's one team in Houston that's better, it is Second Baptist. Cannon, Toon, and company are incredible. That team's the team that's going to come out of the South. I've said that at this point. They're going to get it done against Woodlands Christian, but not by 28.5 or whatever that is. That's crazy. It's not going to be 28.5. It'll be closer than that.
You saying you're smarter than the computer, Walker? I mean, Ryan?
Wait, smarter than the computer? I hope I am. I guess the game before that, I didn't even take the favor by 21 points, so...
We need to start like keeping a tally between us and the computer and seeing who's more accurate.
Yeah,
all right. Ms. Waverly, yet again, we're all three on one side of the game. What is your take on the Second Baptist TWCA?
I just think Cannon Toon is such a difference maker. I think he's the difference in this game, but I mean, Second also has so many weapons. You have Bryce Butler, Cash Harris, Langston Davis, Colton Hudson. You just like, I was looking at their max preps earlier and just like names upon names. It's not like they have one or two contributors. I mean, like I said, Cannon Toon is going to be the difference in this game, I think, but lots of weapons beside him. I'm taking Second Baptist because not only do I think they're the better team, but my dad also graduated from Second Baptist in
Whoa.
1997, I believe. And so I can't pick against Second. Go Eagles.
Something tells me you're kind of in a hostage situation where it'd end poorly if you picked against. So I'll let that slide. And also, even if you weren't, I feel like it's kind of a no-brainer pick to take Second here. But that is funny. But that is that game. Moving on, we actually have some additional outside contribution for Episcopal versus Kincaid. SBC correspondent Jack Klosek will take a moment and break this one down for us.
Hey everyone, instead of Jack Klosek, you have instead me breaking down the top matchup in SBC 4A. Bel Air Episcopal at Houston Kincaid. The battle of the last two SBC 4A title games happens once again this Friday night, but with a twist, as major players in years past have now graduated. For Bel Air Episcopal, a talented senior class led by UCLA quarterback Carson Gordon and Yale DB Braylon Thompson have now gone on to their collegiate schools and have left behind a great roster. For Kincaid, the staple backs that led the Falcon offense, such as Miles Rader and Michael Bell, are long gone. But left behind is a talented young team that grew into being the projected best team in SBC 4A this year. Let's look at Bel Air Episcopal. On defense, you are led by a great defensive back core of Christian Houston, Ronnie Thomas, and Brooks Edwards. In the front seven, you have a talented player such as Madden Morgan, Tyler Cesarski, Travis Johnson, and sophomore Deacon Morgan. On offense, losing a UCLA quarterback is tough. But after Tyler Blomgren's injury and he went down, sophomore Brody Barti has dominated. And after last week's St. John's win, he has submitted himself as a top five quarterback in 27 in TXPS. And with weapons like his brother Logan Barti, Tate Organ, Garen Sampson, DJ Taylor, and star back Brandon BJ Thomas, you should expect the EHS offense to put up points in every game they play. But when looking at Kincaid, EHS faces their toughest task yet. Kincaid's young team from last year has grown up and has gelled into, from reports we have heard, one of, if not the best defense in TXPS. Led by pieces such as Christopher Carlson, Odell Wynn, Gavin Johnson, Jackson Staley, etc., they have locked elite offenses up, such as Regents to only 15 points, St. Thomas to 17, Second Baptist and ESD to only 7 points. This defense is the definition of lockdown. On offense, they are led by senior star David Capobianco, and when you combine him with true weapons and Jordan Manuel and sophomore Wayne Shanks, who have both terrorized teams so far this year, it is a recipe for success. Oh, and by the way, the offensive line has also improved as well, with Sam Griggs coming in and also Topher Carlson once again on the offensive side of the ball. Overall, this game has turned into one of the best rivalries in TXPS these past couple years, with these games always being insane matchups. AHS had finally gotten Kincaid's number last year, but the story normally goes Kincaid's way. What happens tomorrow? We don't know, but we will find out. Now, let's get back to the picks.
All right. So thank you, as always, to Jack for that incredibly detailed prediction. We're not going to take a whole lot more time in detail since Jack laid it out so well. I'm going to say I'm taking Kincaid in this game. EHS is great, and I got burned picking against them against St. John's, although I have qualms about how that game ended, but that is neither here nor there. Kincaid, just their defense is, I think, possibly the top defense in all of TXPS. I mean, I think you can make a
That's
case
fair.
for it. I mean,
That's
they
fair.
are just blitzing, not even like blitzing, and I mean in the word blitzing, but just putting so much pressure on opposing offenses. I don't think Episcopal, outside of, I don't know how good West Orange Stark's defense is, but Kincaid's is going to be up there. That being said, and even on the offensive side of the ball, Capobianco and Wayne Shanks, to have a Wayne Shanks at your disposal is a luxury most do not have. Long-winded way of saying, give me Kincaid in the spot. I'll take him to cover the 7.5 point number.
I'm gonna go with the Knights. I'm gonna go with EHS in this one. I'm gonna shock the world in this one. I was very impressed with their game last week against St. John's. Kincaid has had a monster non-district schedule. They've beaten, and even if you did transitive property, this pick doesn't make sense because they beat ESD 42 to 7. It doesn't make sense. But as the pick champion right now, the guy who's in the lead, I have one game to, to
Gamble
have
with.
a gamble with. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with the Knights. They impressed me. Like, Brody Barti really, really impressed me last week. And I think their defense, like Kincaid's defense, is like that. Absolutely. One of the best in, and probably the best in the SBC. But I was just very impressed with the Bel Air offense. I think what's gonna maybe ruin my pick is their offensive line. I think defensive line for Kincaid might be better, but I like the weapons around him. I like DJ Taylor. I like Brody Barti. I like Brandon Thomas. I'm gonna go a little wild in this one. Give me EHS.
Ooh. Interesting. For the sake of my pick record, I like that pick on your end. So hopefully I turn out right. Ryan Schroeder, SBC matchup of the century, your thoughts?
I mean, I told some kids at the Texas State Fair that I liked a certain team over everyone else in SBC 4A, and they go by Kincaid. I'm still with that. I watched them lose to Gunner, and I think right after the Gunner game, I quite literally said, "This team is incredible." I said that immediately after the Gunner game. They go and beat Regents, and then St. Thomas, and then Second Baptist, and they just keep running up the non-district slate. You know, I don't like that 23, the 23 points that were scored by St. Mark's. I guess that's just part of going to Dallas at that point. But I mean, to overall, just to say this, Kincaid is like that. They're gonna win SBC 4A. I've been saying that. They're the best team there. The challenge is tonight. I don't know, man. Kincaid is just like that. Give me Kincaid. I do think though, because I got the last one wrong, St. John's Episcopal, I do think that this game will be closer. I think I underrated Episcopal. So I will say this will be 3-point game, 4-point game. I have it really, really, really close. But give me Kincaid.
My hot take is that this is a two-score game. I personally think. I think EHS is really good. And again, this could be me being salty that I was just very wrong last week, but I think Kincaid is that good, and they've proved it up to this point. But Waverly, there's two of us on one side, one on the other. Are you going to make this even or make it a 3-1 push for Kincaid?
I think I gotta go with Kincaid here. They're just very good. They have great non-district wins. And like we were saying, you have two really good 2-0 teams in the SBC 4A division. But I think Kincaid's gonna get it done. Just kind of doing my research, I don't know a whole lot about SBC, but one guy that really stood out to me for Kincaid was Jordan Manuel. He just looked so good on film. And obviously, they have a great quarterback and lots of really good weapons. But I think Kincaid's going to get the job done here.
Absolutely. I can't believe I didn't bring up Jordan Manuel because he is a fantastic athlete. Another great weapon on that Falcon offense. I also have to shout out Kincaid for being the Falcons and not the Eagles because there are too many dadgum Eagles and TXP. Oh, I forgot y'all. I forgot y'all are the Eagles as well.
Three of
See,
us are.
y'all are perpetuating the problem. There's too many of them.
That's, you're not wrong.
Dude, all of us can be Cougars, all right? Sorry, man.
Hey, at least we're unique. Name me another Cougar in TXPS. You
Name another
cannot.
community school
I forgot
as
y'all are the
well.
Eagles too. Literally everyone's the Eagles. There's like 15 teams. Before I derail this with an Eagle rant, let us get into a game featuring the Eagles. Central Texas Christian at Brazos Christian. Brazos Christian is a 6.5-point favorite. We are going to hand this one off to Waverly West because it'd be an injustice to let anyone else preview this game. But the Division Four analyst, Waverly, what are we looking for in this matchup?
Yeah, so moving on to Brazos Christian getting to host Central Texas Christian. It's looking to be like it's going to be one of the best Division IV games this year. Central Texas once again travels there. It's 2 6-0 teams. Neither team has lost a game yet, which is just insane because both have stacked up pretty decent non-district wins. This game will most likely determine who wins the district championship of District 2 in Division 4, which obviously, being a district champion is a great accomplishment, but the winner of the district would not have to see First Baptist until state in playoffs, assuming First Baptist wins their district as they should. So that would be an even easier path to Waco. So even more riding on this game. My kind of storyline that I think is going to make the difference in this game is the Central Texas defense is currently allowing less than 8 points per game. And I think Brazos Christian's offense will be one of the best they face. You have Cooper Murr, and then you have the senior trio of Isaiah Perkins, Jackson Caffey, Truett Goedeke, and so many more weapons, juniors, and other underclassmen. I think it's going to take CTCS kind of stopping that electric Brazos Christian offense. But personally, I'm a Brazos Christian girl. I am the most biased person in this room by far. I have to take Brazos Christian, but it will be a very good game. So much riding on it. And yeah, this will probably determine district championships.
There we go. Well, I mean, you are more biased than Walker and I, but we are still biased because Walker can still claim Brazos Christian as his hometown team. They're my former, but still in my heart, hometown team. And yeah, I think you bring up a really good point with Central Texas averaging less than 8 points per game allowed. Brazos is averaging 36 and a half, almost 37 points. So something has to give there. Both things can't be true. Central Texas's win against Brentwood actually really does impress me. Brentwood went out and played. Again, Grace isn't really the standard to measure yourself by, but I mean, it's 42-35. It was a one-score game against a Division II team. That is a Division IV team punching above their weight class and winning 24-7 in a dominant fashion. And you got wins against LP Legacy out of Magnolia. Live Oak's also a good win. Rose Hill, they killed them. It's just. And again, it's probably information bias. I like Brazos Christian a lot. It's hard for me to bet against like Caffey, Godike, Brody Gardner, who is a monster dude. We've been saying that since he was a sophomore. He is one of the best, I think, college prospects in the D4 South. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Brazos Christian. I don't think that they get drug all the way down to 8 points in this game. If they do, I think they lose. But I do think that Brazos has to get at least 28 points here, just with how electric their offense is. But we will see. The game remains to be played. Walker Lott, we've got two on the side of the Eagles and none on Central Texas Christian. Your thoughts?
Dude, this is gonna be a fun one. I think it's gonna be pretty close too. I'm Central Texas, that Brentwood game, like you said, that's intriguing. I did not see that coming. And Central Texas has dudes, Cooper Smith at quarterback, Evan Allerkamp, Gabriel Logsdon, Austin Evans. They got some dudes. Leif Johnson does a great job over there. And I just if I had to pick a side, I'm going with the hometown team. I'm going to go Brazos Christian. I think it's truly because of the trenches. I've said this week after week, especially last week with the win over Hallettsville. I think Brazos Christian is better in the trenches than it probably has been in a very long time. I really like the defensive line for them, Brody Gardner. Dang, I forget the other kid on the other side. They have pieces over there, Ben Tillery in the middle. I'm really happy to see the lines on both sides, offense and defense, really be the standout for this team because you have weapons and you're going to get Cooper Murray's going to get them to the weapons. But it gets a team like this where they run the ball. If it's anything like Central Texas last year, they're going to run the ball right down your throat. They're running a lot of like kind of wing tee, just play action out of it. So the defensive line is going to have to stand out in this one. I think they do. So give me Brazos Christian.
Ryan Schroeder, thankfully you now know to pronounce it Brazos Christian and not Brazos Christian. Your thoughts on this matchup?
I think that's the story in 4A this year is just the fact that I learned how to spell Braz, or I know learned how to say Brazos instead. That's just the full story. No football, no nothing. Just I learned how to say Brazos. No, truly though, like I mean, I've said this for a while. It's these two teams who are going to be the only two teams to give a chance against First Baptist this year. They are a step below. Both of them are a step below, but one of them is a step higher than the other, and it's Brazos Christian. I think Brazos is the better team, just by way of their opponents only scoring less than, I mean, every opponent has scored less than 18 points, most of them scoring around 14, 8, 7. Just like it really favors the fact of how good Brazos defense is. I think Central Texas Christian is the third best team, like we keep saying, in all of Division Four, but it's hard not to give it to the boys at Brazos, especially at home in their wheelhouse, especially with having Waverly on, have to go Brazos here.
There we go. Waverly, your job now is to make sure not a single player at Brazos Christian sees this preview because I don't want them, thinking that they're going to go in and win. Tell all of them that we picked that we picked Central Texas, please, for the sake of my pick record. But
For sure. No rat
that
poison
will
in here.
exactly no rat poison here. So moving on to another Division Four game, this time featuring a Division Three opponent. Holy Cross versus First Baptist, where Holy Cross is a 10.5 point favorite. The biggest game we've ever seen in the lower divisions. Two 7-0 teams, two title contenders. San Antonio, Dallas, First Baptist, Holy Cross. Let's begin up north. First Baptist might be the best team we've ever seen in Division Four. I cannot overstate how drastically improved Bishop Dunn transfer Quincy Reams looks at quarterback. He has the twin towers on the outside with 6'2 Bradley Mays and 6'6 UTSA commit Caleb Mitchell. You have Division I target Corey Thomas playing in the trenches and George Anagostas clamping down the middle of the defense. It is hard to find a weakness in this squad, especially with guys like Jason LaVorne, David Robinson, and Jonathan Wade leading it. This would be a competitive squad in Division I, and I mean that. Let's move to the flip side. Holy Cross seems like a team of destiny. They've already destroyed two San Antonio Division I teams in Antonian and Central. Gibby Alvarado, Marco Gomez, and Patrick Ortiz constitute the three-headed monster for Holy Cross, and they have been dominant thus far. Here's a stat. Holy Cross is allowing less than 8 points per game. First Baptist offense cannot be stopped. The lowest point total that they've been held to is 28 against Grace. Holy Cross has some dogs, but can this elite defense translate against the most talent they've seen this season? I think they can. I think they can. And it's stupid of me to pick against First Baptist when I've already done it this year. That's one of my mantras is once I get proven wrong, I don't pick against that team, especially in tight spots. The way Holy Cross looks to me right now is like one of the best teams in Texas private school, regardless of division. First Baptist is up there too. It's just Holy Cross, especially Gibby, Patrick, Marco. It's a team of destiny is really the only words I can use to formulate it. Even as opposed to last year, they look that much more improved. They bring so many guys back. This team just likes playing with each other. The camaraderie and the chemistry jumps off the page. I gotta go with it's honestly more of a vibes pick than anything else, as stupid as that sounds. And I'm gonna trust my gut, which has led me astray more than a couple times. Give me Holy Cross, give me San Antonio, team of destiny. Walker.
Dude, I don't know, man. Okay, we're about to talk about another game that even before this season, we circled as the game of the lifetime, right? The one we're about to talk about. I think I'm more excited about this one, truly. Like, this is gonna be so much fun. And I'm so excited to go up to, I think, a little outside Waco and go cover this one because, man, this is gonna be a lot of fun. It's truly like an unstoppable force meets an immovable object in this game. Both teams are amazing, and I don't know where I'm gonna go with this one. I truly don't. I see it to where, I don't think for Holy Cross has played wide receivers like this caliber yet in this season. And I think, you didn't even mention guys like Nick Hall, Isaiah Rice, Perez, the running back. They got dudes, bro. And but can they cover 6'2", 6'6" worth of receivers? And you didn't even mention Mark Grayson. Like, they got
Oh.
so you know what I mean? Like, that's gonna be that guy. It can be a true difference maker in this game because of how physical he is. I'm kind of stalling because I have no idea. When I went down to San Antonio for the Holy Bowl, and I watched this team compete against a San Antonio Central Catholic team and just dominated them from the start. And their defense looked unbelievable. Their offensive line, Jose Lerma, Sam, I forget his last name, what starts with a V. Like, those are some dudes, bro. And they're so well coached. And you said it, you said they're the team of destiny. And they might be. I just think they're that good. I just think they're that team. And they show it week in and week out. I told him I don't think I was going to ever pick against them, and I'm not going to pick against them now. Give me Holy Cross in this one. But man, this is going to be fun.
Ryan Schroeder.
Okay, so I want to answer your question or your statement first, Walker, about how we've been looking forward to the Liberty Parish game, I guess the entire offseason and up till now. I think the Holy Cross First Baptist game wasn't really on our radar that much, mostly because, first off, I need to confirm whether this game was booked before the season started, as well as the fact it wasn't. And then also the fact that we did not know that Holy Cross was going to be this good. Let's be for real. We knew they're going to be good, probably not to this level, probably not undefeated at this point in the year, especially when you saw that they're going to play Antonian and Central Catholic in the first three non-district games. With that being said, non-district wise, we asked our student analyst Jacob Bermudez. I was kind of asking him throughout the season, hey, Are they going to take this seriously? Like, are they going to take it serious? Like, this non-district game that falls right in the middle of district has no ties to division play. If someone gets hurt, like, this is nothing to do with district. There's absolutely no ties. You're in the middle of your district season. Is this really going to be a priority for either team? Of course it is. It's undefeated D3, D4. Probably two. It probably, the favorite to win D4 against now the favorite to win D3 up there with DC. Like, they're gonna take this super seriously. That definitely was a worry earlier this year when you probably didn't know if they're gonna all keep winning games, but they've both won games by large margins, and they're beating their district by large margins. You have no reason to think that they won't take this seriously by the fact that they keep dominating their district. With that being said, I haven't even remotely talked about the game yet. I think when I saw Gibby at the TXPS retreat and I sat at the table with him and we talked for a second, I said, "Why is it this year?" And him and his dad, and everyone else that I got to talk to said, basically, it has to be this year. Like, it has to, this is where we're gonna do it. We've come up short, and it's time to do it this year. And I think I have to have faith in that. Give me Holy Cross. Give me Gibby Alvarado, the whole crew at Holy Cross. I love it, man. This game's incredible.
Waverly, we got three of us on one side of a game. Are you going to be the person to jump on the other side?
Oh man. Okay. Before I get into my pick, to Ryan's point about kind of if this was scheduled, whenever me and Walker and Ryan were at TAPSCon this summer, I actually interviewed Coach LeBourne for FBA and Coach Harrison at Holy Cross. And if my memory serves right, y'all may have known that the game was scheduled, but I don't know if it was official or not until Coach LeBourne told me. And I don't know if it was during the interview or before or after that they were scheduling this. And I remember we all kind of looked at each other and we were like, that's going to be insane. Like, just what a game it's going to be. Anyways, but I think I have to go with the Division Four team. Once again, y'all talked about your Brazos Christian information bias. I have a Division Four information bias, but I think First Baptist can do it. They have so many weapons. I mean, their receiving core is one of the best in TAPS, and you have Quincy Reams, you have Core Thomas, you have like so many guys, and I don't know, maybe it's just a gut feeling, but I think they can get it done. I also think it's going to be so cool because it is a neutral site in Robinson around Waco. I think I put it into Google Maps earlier and it was 1 hour 45-ish away from First Baptist and 3 hours away from Holy Cross. So definitely a big trip for both teams, but we know both fan bases are passionate and will definitely travel. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere and a great game, but give me Coach LeBourne and the First Baptist Academy Saints.
I'm glad you took them because it wouldn't have done this preview justice for all of us to be on one side. When I tell you it's a razor's edge that I'm going with Holy Cross, it's a razor's edge. Like, First Baptist has more talent than we've ever seen at the D4 level. And it's completely redundant for me to say that because I've said it a million times. But that being said, it's going to be an all-timer. Speaking of all-timers, the game of the year that's been circled since the beginning of time, basically, Parrish at Liberty Christian Argyle. Liberty is a 7.5 point favorite. Anderson, Murphy, Pyle, Janusek, Witten, Crane, Richardson, Witten number two. This is the game of the year. 5-2 Parrish, 7-0 undefeated Liberty. People claimed that the sky was falling when Parrish lost to All Saints to start the season, but they forget how loaded this team is. They still have the most impressive offensive structure that I've seen. Jalen Pyle has taken the biggest step forward out of anyone that I've covered. Saw your Anderson throws the prettiest ball in the state. I will fight anyone against that opinion. The question is, can their line hold up against a front consisting of Witten, Maddox, Sakiri, and others? On the other side, you know the playmakers for Liberty. We detailed all of them last week, and I don't have 30 minutes to go through all of them again. What I will say, Preston Woods showed us last week that the top of Division One is much closer than we thought. And now, knowing that Liberty is human, I don't know if teams are necessarily scared of them, but they should be. It's Liberty Christian. That's the pick. This game is not going to be a blowout. It's not going to be what people thought at the beginning of the season when they were jumping off the Paris train after the loss to All Saints. It's pretty dadgum good if you haven't picked up on that. It's just, and I say that really confidently, and the game scares me really badly. It's a coin flip game. Preston Wood yet again showed us last week the top of Division One is the margin is incredibly small. I think Liberty is probably deeper. While I like Pyle a lot, he probably will be the best receiver on the field. Liberty's got four of them, especially if Cooper Witten's back. It's not even something I mentioned. It's a huge storyline. Cooper Witten out with injury last week. Status unknown for this week. Apparently, the people at Liberty are really, really hush hush about that. But we'll see. I still will hang my hat on this Liberty receiving core, and adding a guy like Quinn Murphy is going to help that out a lot. And then again, I'm not even going to go through all of the playmakers because I've done it a million times. The pick's Liberty. It scares me really badly, but Ryan Schroeder and I will be live and on site to see how that game materializes. Walker Lott, I don't know how you can force people to pick this game, but we're going to do it anyways. Your thoughts?
Yeah, truly. The one transitive property game is it's TC Addison for both teams with both, but yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just funny. Both teams beat TC Addison 56 to nothing, which is not just funny. The more you know.
Coin flip.
It's truly a coin flip. How can you not pick against Liberty? They're so talented. They're very, very disciplined. The guys they have are just on another level. But I think, Wes, you said something, or maybe I said something in the previews or one of the first couple weeks. There's not a coach like Daniel Novikov that can more out-scheme another team than him. There's a reason they have a dynasty, right? There's a reason they have won so many games. There is a reason why players come to Parish Episcopal and just continue to dominate. And that is because of Daniel Novikov's leadership there, right? Sawdier Anderson is one of the most experienced guys in the state. Jalen Pyle is going to be the best receiver on that field. And it's that matchup, by the way, between him and Nick Blevins. Oh man, this is what sport's all about right there. But I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pick Parish Episcopal. How can you not bet against the dynasty? I think that's truly what it is. How can you not get bet against the offensive scheme that will be Daniel Novikov, Sawyer Anderson, Jalen Pyle, DC Crane, Nick Wheeler, Beckham Smith, Carson Darby, Bryson Fields. This offense is going to be electric. I'm a little worried about their defense. Absolutely. They lost pieces last year. It's hard to replace like a Caleb Mitchell Irving, right? But I like Jesse Richardson. I like Zach Shapiro. Nick Wheeler on both sides of the ball is going to be crucial for them. They have pieces. I think they do it. I think they scheme well. Give me the Panthers. But this is so much fun.
It is so much fun. Ryan Schroeder, the pick.
Oh, so I've actually seen both these teams in person this year, which is kind of ironic to think about. But I've seen Parrish play Legacy. I've seen Parrish. I've seen Liberty play Prestonwood now. And what I can tell you is that Parrish looked a little human against Legacy. Not a lot, but a little human, you know. And that was with Ian Pulte. That was with, the guys at Legacy that were showing out. But also Jalen Pyle looked incredible. Sawyer was throwing passes that really are only Sawyer Anderson senior level passes, right? In my opinion, I think Sawyer, I mean, it's not really a hot take, but Sawyer is better than Quinn. Sawyer through truly is probably the top, if one of the top three quarterbacks, if not the top quarterback in all of private school, in my opinion. He's incredible. I just think there's so much depth on the other side. I think there's a Cooper Witten if he plays. I think there's Brady Janusek, who, just all this Enzo stuff made me really think about the fact that, like, Brady Janusek, in that game. Of course, he's the one that gets highlighted on in that because he was the best player on the field by far that night. He's the one of the best players that's ever played at Liberty. He'll go down as a Liberty legend. That team's incredible. I think Coach Novikov has done everything right at Parrish. He's done everything right with guys leaving and going off to the next level. He's done everything right. I think the Witten name and what they've done at Liberty to bring all these guys in just truly proves how dominant they've been. Give me Liberty here, in another close battle like it was down in Plano last week.
All righty, we got two for Liberty, one for Parrish, Waverly West, the pick.
I think I'm also going to take Liberty just because of last week's game. I think they needed that kind of check just to say, like, okay, we
Yes.
are human. What are we going to do about it? And they overcame that. They eventually beat Prestonwood. And I think it's going to have to take that almost loss to get them to say, hey, we need to work hard. We may have gone 14 and 0 last year, but we still need to work hard so that we aren't dethroned and so that we can not only compete in Division Two, but also Division One. I think they just have so many weapons. Parrish could easily win this game. I think, like y'all said, it is a coin flip, but I'm taking Liberty. The leaders on this team, I think, are gonna have their team working hard this week, and I think they're gonna get it done.
There we go.
Can
That
I
it's
change my pick? That was such a reasonable, like, understandable take. Like,
You
that was,
cannot don't change your
I'm
you know
not,
you want
I'm
you
giving
know
her
you want
props.
that. You
I'm
know you
giving her
want
props.
that.
That was a really, like, I went,
Oh my
oh, that makes
gosh.
a lot of sense. Like, that's what I got out of that. So, but no, I'll stay with the Panthers. I'll absolutely stay with the Panthers.
As soon as West started going out, I like chills throughout my entire right arm and my left arm. I mean, I've been waiting for this game for five. I mean, this game is, oh my goodness. I'm so glad that and I think you said this, West, but yeah, me and West will both be there on site. Just one of those games, man. One of those games that you can't miss. One of those games, in this decade that'll be remembered as hopefully being one of the biggest private school matchups and one of those games that will rival some of those UIL matchups over the years.
Exactly. And if all things go right, maybe the first of two this season. That would surely
True.
be a treat. But that being said, that is actually all the content that we have to get through this episode. But I'm not letting y'all off the hook quite yet. Waverly, as you've seen probably on a couple of these episodes, I pull an album from my vinyl collection back behind me. I make the crowd guess a few songs. You probably will have a greater advantage than the other people here, I would assume, with this record. It's Tyler Childers. I'm going to need four Tyler Childers songs between the three of you before we get out of here.
I am no help, guys. I do not know country. It's
Okay,
on y'all.
I gotta lock in. I gotta lock in.
Come on, Ryan. It might be up to you. I might have had more faith in Waverly than I should have.
Gosh.
I mean,
Okay. Well, the name of the album is a song on the album,
oh,
right?
sorry. It doesn't have to be off this album. It can be any Tyler Childers song. Yeah.
Okay. All Yorn.
That song's incredible.
Oh gosh.
I'm not gonna be.
Okay, I don't listen to them a lot, but a lot of my friends do. Oh, Lady May.
Yes.
Oh, that song's incredible too.
It is.
Guys, I need help.
There's
Oh
another
my.
really big one.
Really? What does it start with? What letter? I need a
F.
letter. That
Can
didn't
she
help
trying to
with my.
say? Do you think can
There's too
she
many words
phone
in
a
English
friend
language.
if she wants a
No, we won't
friend?
take that long.
Oh
My
my
gosh.
gosh.
I don't know. I'm not gonna act
The
like I
first
don't
word's
know.
feathered.
Feathered Indians?
Yes, feathered Indians.
I helped.
Good
I
And
helped.
more
Then
than
there's one
me.
that was big on TikTok. The first word is shake.
It
Second
off.
word is the.
Shake the ground.
Shake the
Shake.
frost. Come on, guys. I'm
Oh my
sorry.
gosh.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry,
That
Mr.
that's fine.
Tulsa.
I'll find an easier one for next week. Waverly, hey, Waverly, actually, I think you gave
Yeah.
us two of the songs at least. So Waverly's the charge. Actually one of the better showings for the album so far this year. But that's a nice way to end it. Waverly, since you were incredible and our guest this evening, I'll give you closing comments. First of all, thank you for coming on. You, as I said previously, do incredible work, whether that's for the website or leading our student analysts. We're incredibly grateful for it. Thank you for coming on. Closing thoughts, comments, concerns regarding this week.
I mean, like we've said all episode, so many of the games are coin flips. The second the BCS game gets over, hopefully we get out of there with a victory. And I'm just gonna be on Twitter the whole night, just refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Who's winning? Who's winning what game? But I'm so excited, especially the First Baptist Holy Cross, me having so much experience in the lower divisions. I think it's going to be just such an incredible game. Like we said, the two state title contenders in two of the divisions, and hopefully BCS can get to 7-0. We have never been 6-0 in program history, so that's already an accomplishment. No more rat
Whoa.
poison for the Eagles. But
Whoa.
that's all I have. So excited for this week.
There we go. And
There
see, now
you
you know why we have her on the program, because she is a Texas private school football junkie like the rest of us. Waverly, thank you yet again for coming on. As always, I have been one fourth of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson, Walker Lott, Waverly West, Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the week 8 review. See you later.